As the offering trays are passed, we want to highlight a few family notes that are coming up before we get into the message this morning. We've been announcing about Hope Kids for the past few weeks, and it is underway. This is our new summer lunch program in partnership with the YMCA and Genesis Methodist. And if you'd like to volunteer during the summer, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each day out in the zone, you can sign up today out in the gathering room at the ministry table. We would love for you to volunteer. And then you might, maybe, have noticed that we're getting ready for VBS, and it begins tomorrow night, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. each evening. And just a couple of things that we thought you would like to know. We have 120-plus children already pre-registered for VBS. Yeah, praise God for that. So that's almost double the number that we had pre-registered last year, okay? So you might imagine how Andrea and Tara were like, lots of children. So the good news is we have all of our main group leaders covered, so thank you for volunteering, but our groups are bigger this year than they were last year, so what that means is we still need volunteers to kind of be assistants, if you will, people to be hands and feet in the groups to help manage the children, to help get them from station to station each night. And so if you're available and you didn't want to be the main group leader, the good news is we got that covered. Can you come and help our main group leaders kind of get the children from center to center? We just need some people like that. And so if that's you this morning, if you're thinking, I can do that, we do need your help, and so you can either text or email Andrea or Tara, or you can find them this morning and let them know that you'll be here, or Andrea even told me this morning, just show up tomorrow night. Just show up. They'll find a spot for you. They'll put you to work. And then last, look who's coming to dinner. Our summer tradition here at Alta Mesa is a lot of fun. It's where we go from, we get in groups, dinner groups, and we go to different homes. The last Sunday of June and the last Sunday of July. And today is the last day, if you're a member, to let us know that you can't come on June 30th, so signing out of the event at the ministry table. And then if you're a guest or regular attender and you're like, I'd like to go to dinner at someone's home, that sounds nice, you can sign into the event this morning. This is the last morning to do that for the June 30th Look Who's Coming to Dinner. So please take advantage of that. We would love for everyone to participate. So this morning, I want us to return to the first section of the collection of the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4 here in just a moment. But before we get there, I want us to remind ourselves about the instruction of the wise sages. And what is the purpose of the collection of the Psalms? I want you to listen again to the purpose. It's chapter 1, the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in verses 2 through 6, we're given this purpose statement for the collection of the Proverbs, and maybe you notice that the preposition in our language is used multiple times over and over, for this, for that. So this purpose statement, it's arranged with 5 Hebrew infinitives beginning with the word for. So Proverbs, this collection of wisdom, it was written for learning and wisdom. It was written for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction about wise living. It was written for helping the naive and the young become mature, and for understanding difficult sayings like Proverbs. However, as you keep reading the first 9 chapters specifically of Proverbs, you begin to realize and pick up on that the primary young and naive audience is a son. Or 2 times it says, my sons. And so the primary speaker of the sons is the father's voice. However, there's 2 speeches that featured the mother's voice as well in chapter 1 and in chapter 6, and we looked at those on Mother's Day. So for example, chapter 1, verse 8, and then the first verse of the next chapters, chapters 2 through 7, feature the words or the address, my son or my sons. This is highlighting the primary audience or the recipients of these collections of wise sayings from the father and mother to their sons. And there's a lot of themes that are flowing in and out, but the interweaving of them all is this urgent appeal, this urgent plea to their sons, choose wisdom, get wisdom. So let me ask you, if you only had 1 day left, 24 hours is all you had left with those that you love the most. And for this morning, let's just say the children that you know and love well, whether they're your children or whether you are a spiritual influence in these children's lives, the ones that you're thinking about and they're special to your heart. If you only had 1 day left with them, 24 hours, what is it that you would want to emphasize with them? What instructions or teachings would you lean into for that 1 day? Well, perhaps we can receive some direction from the father and mother, and we're going to be in Proverbs 4 to kind of get a picture of what it is that they were trying to impress upon their sons. There's this sense of urgency and a clear pathway that they want them to take. So starting in Proverbs 4, verse 1, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. And then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and to present you with a glorious crown. And so here we have the wisdom of God once again personified as a woman for the son to pursue. And the father is clearly instructing his son, if you want to be on the pathway to a good, godly life, get wisdom. I tried to emphasize it as I was reading. Did you notice how many times the father told his son, get wisdom? Not once, not twice, 3 times. Get wisdom. And if the son will take hold of woman wisdom, she will provide life-giving words. She will provide protection and honor and respect all the days of his life. These are the words about wisdom from the father to his son. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Get wisdom because it stood out to me. Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is better than anything else this world has to offer. Godly wisdom. So as you reflect on these words of wisdom from the father in Proverbs, let me ask you this. On this Father's Day, dads, do you have spiritual goals for your children? Have you given this any thought at all? I know for me, the days are long, but the years are short, right? And things just pile on, and we're busy, and and you have work and the pressures of work, and you're obviously you're trying to be a godly and thoughtful spouse to your wife. Have you given any thought lately about the spiritual maturity and formation of your children? What are your goals? And if you don't have any, don't panic. But get started today, reflecting on this. And I would suggest Proverbs 4 as a great starting point. Pray for your kids to grow in wisdom and stature. Encourage them in the ways of wisdom, to live out the ways of wisdom. You live out the ways of wisdom for your children to see. You being a faith example for your children is one of the greatest gifts that you can give them. And if you do have a list, whether it's short or long, of spiritual goals for your children, let me ask you, is get wisdom one of them? Because I think it's pretty clear here in Proverbs 4 that that is a high priority in the spiritual life of anyone who's pursuing God. Is get wisdom one of your spiritual goals for your children? If not, I would highly encourage you to add it to the list. And then go back and review the series that we've gone through together. We've tried to be very practical about some of the ways of wisdom and what it looks like to live a life of wisdom. So go back and review that together. But Proverbs 4 is a great starting point, and the urgent instruction continues in verse 20. He says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil." Pretty practical wisdom guidepost here, right? Guard your heart, protect your mouth, fix your eyes on God. Carefully keep your path secure. These are all faith guideposts, if you will, for the ways of wisdom in our lives. But certainly the challenge is, how can we as parents and as people of spiritual influence in the lives of the children around us, how can we help our children live lives that portray the ways of wisdom? Well, as Proverbs 4:3 points out, one reference point for us is the wisdom that we ourselves received from our parents. And as I reflected on my childhood and how my father did his best to portray and to live out wisdom before me, there was something that stood out to me as I reflected. It was consistent presence. Are you present with your family on a consistent basis? Because you see, my dad, he had an 8-to-5 job. He rarely took off early, and his regular vacation time was Thanksgiving and Christmas. There were times where he would take special time off after he had built it up, right? And we'd go camping, or we'd go to SeaWorld, or we would take those special trips, but pretty routinely, it was 8-to-5, and I knew he'd be home by 5:30. I look forward to that time. And so what did I do? I got my homework done. I got my homework done, and I made sure that mom had the help she needed. If she needed help with dinner or setting the table, I wanted to do everything I could so that when dad got home, we could eat dinner and then go outside and play ball. Almost every day he would do that. Very rarely did he say, "Son, I'm just too tired to do that." His consistent presence is what mattered to me. Because then in the moments where I needed his wisdom, where I needed his support, I knew that he would be there. He was there to give me wise counsel in the ways of God. And so if you are or were blessed to have a godly father or some fatherly influencers in your life, I pray you'll hold on to the instruction that they give you, that you'll witness their wise lives, things that they're trying to pass on to you. A few weeks ago, I asked a few of our members to reflect on this same idea, this idea of wise instruction. And I asked them this question. I said, what is some of the wisest instruction you received from your father? Here's some of the responses I received. From Willie Bowdry, you see a picture of him and his father there. He said, my father was a preacher in the Church of Christ, and his two favorite wise instructions came straight from Scripture, from Luke chapter 6, do to others as you would like them to do to you. My kids know that verse. I say it often. Exodus 20, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then from Brian Randolph, he wrote these words. He said, some of the wisest instruction I received from my dad was not something he said, but something I observed from him. He had this way of meeting people through simple conversation and then celebrating them as a person and an individual. He made them feel valuable, like they were the only person in the world that mattered in that moment. That's his dad there in the middle. Then from Tyson Browning, many of us know Tyson's father, Clint. And here are some of Tyson's favorite wise instructions from his dad. First, do not brag about accomplishments. Second, great memories are worth a lot. Creating them is worth the investment. And then third, maybe my favorite, how to grill meat. Yes. Yeah. You can have me over any time, brother. Okay. From Stephen Carazel, he shared this about his father. My dad is not a dispenser of wisdom per se, but one who is willing to take someone along with him or to share his own experience with them. I learned much from him that has shaped me as a minister, especially in regards to caring for and including other people. For example, when I got my first job out of college, I talked with my dad about what my salary would be. And then the next time that I saw him, he gave me a budget that he had made handwritten on a piece of notebook paper. Kids, what that is it's kind of an 8.5 by 11, real thin, never mind. Stephen said what stood out to me was the first item on the list, giving. It was right at 10%. Aaron Tungate shared this about his father. He said, my dad wasn't full of philosophical verbal advice for life, but instead he lived out what I remember being taught from him. Here are a few things he lived out and what I in turn gleaned as wise instruction for life. First, he said, I remember this about my dad, love others in action, not just in words. Be available to meet the needs of others and look for those on the margins and serve them well. Second, prioritize your marriage. Next, affirm your children with words of encouragement and hugs. Be spontaneous. Make memories together as a family. Pursue Jesus, not religion. Church family and worshiping together is important. Maybe my favorite from Aaron about his dad. Write scripture on your heart and share together as a family. Aaron says, we've passed down a few verses to our kids from my dad that he had put to a tune, making memorization easy. And we often sing these little tunes on the way to school drop-off. What a great memory. Make sound decisions by sitting down and intentionally writing out pros and cons. And then last, write letters to express to others how you feel and encourage them. Well, as we mentioned earlier, not all of us had an earthly father that pursued the way of wisdom. And in many ways, when many of us hear the words Father God or Heavenly Father, we get a bit of a bad taste in our mouth, or maybe your stomach turns just a little bit because your experience with your father was not a good one. And whether intentionally or unintentionally, our experience with our Heavenly Father can have an effect on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Right? Many of us feel that, and it's a real thing. Sometimes unconsciously, I think we all struggle with that, for good or bad. We connect things from our earthly father to the heavenly father. And if there were any wise instructions that I could leave with you today, it would be this. Our heavenly father is not our earthly father. Father God loves you unconditionally, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Our Father adores you. He sees you, he sees all of you, all the good, all the struggle, all the sinful desires and ways that we have, all the selfishness and God, he sees all of you, and he loves you just as he created you. So as we close, please listen to the wise instruction of James as he tells us about the truth of our Heavenly Father. From James chapter 1, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sands. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he has created." James chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Join me in this prayer, and then we will close with a song and a benediction. Would you join me? O God, who guided the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Father, would you give us the Spirit to become truly wise and ever rejoice in your goodness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand for the song.